Very good. Well read. Thank you both. We're going to be particularly looking at that first reading from the Gospel of Luke. If you do have a Bible with you, or it's good to have it open there to Luke, end of Luke chapter 23. As we begin, though, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you indeed have spoken, that you continue to speak. And please help us then to listen. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been thinking a little bit about some of the great figures of our history. People that have made a real difference, a real impact for good. One of the problems with them is they're not still here. Perhaps if they were still here, they could help us with the state of the world, with challenges that we face. They could inspire us, guide us, give us some courage and some vision. Like Mother Teresa, for instance, her self-sacrificial life, her ability to give of herself for others, then the inspiration that was to so many. But she died a while ago now, 1997. The Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., the incredible civil rights activist who managed to peacefully protest against societal evils in a way that led to real change. But he died a good while ago, 1968. Winston Churchill, whose courage inspired an entire nation, indeed other nations, to face down one of the most evil regimes ever. But he died a long time ago, 1965. Kate Shepard, that persistent, determined woman who led the charge to making our country the first to give women the vote. What an impact she had. But she died a long time ago, 1934. William Wilberforce, with his relentless, persistent drive to fight against slavery. And his fellow campaigner, Alauda Equiano, who had such a powerful testimony from experience and was very powerful in argument. What a change they made to the world. But they died a long time ago, 1833 and 1797, respectively. Joan of Arc, a woman of intense courage and faith, who challenged authorities and stood for principle. But she died a long time ago, in 1431. Francis of Assisi, who cared for the poor, sought peace and inspired others to do the same. But he died a long time ago, in 1230. St. Augustine, the great teacher, whose philosophy and thinking have influenced thinkers throughout the world, all through the centuries in profound ways. He maybe, if he was here, he could give us wisdom for our time. But he died a long time ago, in 430. A peasant teacher in ancient Israel, who has influenced our world so much. His words continue to do so much good. He's influenced our language and our culture, basically the best parts of our culture. He's known for love your neighbor and love your enemy. He's profoundly influenced all of those other great ones I just mentioned. Even Winston Churchill, who perhaps didn't take him so seriously, was very culturally influenced by him. And every other one of those that I mentioned would consciously call him their greatest influence, I think. But that peasant teacher in Israel, Jesus of Nazareth, he died a long time ago, about 33 AD. In fact, that's made very clear by our reading from Luke's Gospel. The first of the two readings we had today, Luke's Gospel, which is a biography of Jesus from the Bible, a story of his life. By the time we get to the place in Luke where our passage today began, where Sarge started reading, Jesus' life had already been snuffed out. We begin in chapter 23, verse 50, big numbers of the chapters, little numbers of the verses, and there we saw Jesus being buried. Just before this, in the story that Luke tells, Jesus died on a cross, which is a Roman instrument of shameful torture. And then as verses 50 to 52 tell us, Joseph from Arimathea managed to get permission to take Jesus' body down from the cross. And verse 53, he puts Jesus' body in a tomb, a cave hewn from rock. Jesus was being buried, wrapped up for burial, and he was very dead. The Romans were expert executioners, and they had done the job well in Jesus' case. But it was getting late in the day, and the Jewish Sabbath, their day of rest, began at sunset, because they count their days starting from sunset. So the day of rest began at sunset. So this all had to be done quite quickly. And Joseph put him in the tomb. No doubt he rolled the stone in front of the entranceway. First century Jewish tombs tended to have either round or rectangular stones that they would cover the openings with. But Joseph wasn't the only one who was there that day. Standing and watching, in verse 55 it says, were a group of women who were followers of Jesus. They'd followed him for a long time by now, and now they'd followed Joseph and saw where Joseph had put Jesus. In verse 56, they then went home and prepared spices and perfumes to anoint Jesus' body. As far as they knew, that hadn't been done, and they hoped to come and do their dead leader this honor. He had to endure a shameful death, so they wanted to give him a proper burial at least. But all of that happened on Friday evening. And they had to wait until, the woman had to wait until Sunday morning when the Sabbath day of rest was over and it was a new day to do the anointing. And that's what they did. Or at least, that's what they intended to do. Chapter 24, verse 1. Very early on Sunday morning, they returned to the tomb where they had watched Jesus be put. And when they arrived, verse 2, they found the stone sealing the entrance to the tomb had been rolled away. Can you imagine the sinking feeling in their stomachs? If we know the story, we might think, oh, they went wonderful. No, they would have gone, oh, no. What has happened? What does this mean? What has somebody done? And as they looked inside, verse 3, they found that Jesus was missing. They actually went inside the tomb to have a good look, as it says there, but his body was nowhere to be found. Now, when a loved one is lost, it's always devastating. But it's even harder if you don't have the body. If you have the body, at least you can lay them to rest properly. That's what these women wanted to do. But Jesus' body was gone. That, though, was only the first shock of this morning. And that was minor compared with what was about to happen. Verse 4. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. There was something very strange about this. These shining men were more than just the result of very good clothes washing. These women knew there was something extraordinary going on, verse 5. They fell on their faces in fright. They were perplexed, but they were about to get more perplexed because the men said, why do you look for the living among the dead? What a strange thing to say. They were looking for the body of their leader, their teacher, Jesus. As we saw, they'd seen his very dead body placed in the tomb only a couple of days before. But in fact, that's precisely the point. Dead bodies do belong in tombs, and Jesus no longer belonged there. Verse 6, he is not here, he has risen. Literally, he has been raised. He was dead, he was laid out flat, but he's been raised from the dead, stood up, made alive again. And no doubt the woman was still perplexed trying to figure it out, but the men now, these shining men, now helped them understand, gave them something to help them understand, helped them remember something important that Jesus had said. Verse 7, the Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Jesus had said words like that to his followers, including these women, a number of times. He told them this was going to happen. But at the time, they didn't get it. Maybe they couldn't face the idea of him being killed. So they put the whole kind of thing out of their mind. They shut it out. Or maybe the idea of someone rising again after death was just too strange to them in the way he was talking about it. And so they just didn't understand and they just went, I don't know. But whatever the case, they didn't get it. So they'd been completely unprepared for what they found at the tomb. Indeed, completely unprepared for what they didn't find at the tomb. But these strange men here were not just helping the woman to remember what Jesus said so that they'd realize Jesus had told them about it in advance. There's more to it than that. These women were being helped to see the meaning of what had happened, what the empty tomb meant. It meant Jesus had been raised from the dead, and that in turn meant that his death had not been just the tragic accident or the tragic sort of just outcome of circumstances that they thought it was. No, his death, this meant, was part of the plan. Do you see that word in verse 7? Little word there, but very important. The Son of Man, Jesus' name for himself, Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinners, be crucified, and be raised again. He must be. It had to happen. It was necessary. Because this was God's plan to bring hope and forgiveness to the world. Jesus, the innocent one, would die in our place so we could be forgiven our wrongs and have new life with God. And we heard more of that on Good Friday. You can listen back to that recording if you want to, or chat to me afterwards to find out more about what the cross and Jesus' death means. As my little girl is saying at the moment, my little three-year-old girl is saying at the moment, Jesus died on the cross for our bad things. It's exactly right. But the fact that he was raised changed everything. Changed everything about how these women would see Jesus' life, would see his death, would see their own lives from then on. So, verse 9, the woman went back to tell the other followers of Jesus, including the 11 apostles, who were kind of the leaders of the Jesus movement, to tell them about what they had been told, about what they'd seen, that Jesus had been really raised. They went back to do that. But just pause here for a second, because I want to notice a detail in the passage here that's very important. Do you notice in verse 10, there are number 10 there, that Luke, the gospel writer, makes a point of sort of pausing the story to tell us the names of the women here. He pauses to do that. Why does he do that? Why does he kind of make a point of telling us their names? Well, remember, these women were the ones who found the tomb empty earlier that day, Sunday, but also they were the ones who saw Jesus' body put in the tomb on Friday evening. And Luke was listing their names as a record of who had seen all this. The very respected Bible scholar Richard Borkham says it really well, the kind of significance of this. He says that in the Gospels, the role of the women as eyewitnesses is crucial. They see Jesus die, they see his body laid in the tomb, and they find the tomb empty. The fact that some of the women were at all three events means they can testify that Jesus was dead when he was laid in the tomb, and that it was that tomb in which he was buried that they subsequently found empty. Borkham goes on to speak of how the word see is used all the time with the woman. The woman see this and they see that, because it's pointing out that they are eyewitnesses. So Borkham sums it up: it could hardly be clearer that the Gospels are appealing to their role as eyewitnesses. These women were the eyewitnesses of what happened. Luke was wanting to show his sources here. These women had told what they'd seen. If you'd known them when Luke wrote this, if they were still alive and you'd known them, you'd be able to go and talk to them or talk to people who knew them. They told what they'd seen. They were the sources for the stories of the burial and empty tomb in the Gospels. We are hearing what they saw. In one sense, we're getting to see through their eyes on that first Easter Sunday morning. But despite the fact that they saw it all, the other followers of Jesus didn't believe them. Verse 11. But they did not believe the woman because their words seemed to them like nonsense. They thought it was nonsense. And there's a simple reason why. They knew very well, from their own understanding experience, that dead people stay dead. That's what it was. They weren't stupid. They weren't gullible. They weren't just simple and ancient people, neither the 11 apostles, the other disciples, any more than the woman were. They weren't. They knew how the world works. They knew dead people stayed dead. So therefore, the other apostles didn't believe the woman when the woman said what they'd seen. See, the Bible is actually very realistic about this sort of thing. It very much understands that resurrection, someone coming back from the dead, isn't a normal thing. In fact, according to our usual standards, it's an impossible thing. So if you feel like, gosh, this seems like a very strange thing, yeah, The Bible knows that. That's why these other Christians, these other followers of Jesus, didn't believe it. But one of them, in fact their leader, Peter, thought he'd better go and have a look for himself. Better at least go and have a look. So he did. In verse 12, he found an empty tomb, just like the woman had told him. He even saw strips of linen that Jesus had been wrapped in lying there. But he didn't find Jesus. And it says he went away wondering to himself what had happened. Literally, wondering at these happenings. Now, Peter would have to do more wondering and more looking to find out what really did happen. Because again, what we're reading about happens in the real world here. It happened in the real world. Wouldn't you need to do some more looking and some more finding out if you came across a situation like this? If you're presented with this, wouldn't you need to do some more looking into it? With claims like these women were claiming, wouldn't you need to find out more? Well, Peter had to do more finding out. And he did do more finding out. And despite the fact that Peter knew very well that dead people stay dead, and despite the fact that he hadn't believed the woman initially, eventually he came to the realization that in fact the woman were telling the truth. In fact, Peter himself came across Jesus after this as well. Something we'll see more of that in the next couple of Sundays. And he put that together with the empty tomb, and despite all his previous experience, despite the logical conclusion that dead people stay dead, despite those things, the realities of what he heard and saw and discovered meant he had to say Jesus was raised from the dead. In fact, in our other reading from the book of Acts, which we heard, it's actually what we heard was part of a speech given about 7 weeks after the events we're looking at this morning. So about 7 weeks later. And do you know who was giving that speech? Who was talking about Jesus rising again about 7 weeks later? It was Peter. He was so convinced of it that he was declaring it to the city of Jerusalem. Jesus of Nazareth, that great Jewish peasant teacher who has had such a massive impact on our culture through his teaching and example, he died a long time ago, about 33 AD. But he didn't stay dead. He was raised. The tomb was empty. And the fact that he was raised shows that he was more than a peasant teacher. As Peter and the other followers came to see, he was in fact the very Son of God who had died to bring us back into a forgiven relationship with God. And because he was raised, our hopes are raised. Because he was raised, death does not ultimately win in this universe. Because he was raised, we live in a world that is more than just matter. We live in a world with possibilities beyond what we might expect or be able to work out with our own limited capacities. We live in a world where a resurrection has happened. Death has been overcome. And the influence of Jesus is not dead and will not die because he still lives. He died a long time ago, but he was raised. So I want to ask you as we finish, are you wondering? Peter at the end of our passage was wondering, wasn't he? He was wondering, what does this mean? If you are someone here today who would not call yourself a Christian, maybe you're not usually at church, can I ask you, by the way, it's fantastic you're here. So glad to have you here. But can I ask you, are you wondering like Peter? Have you seen that there is something to what those women saw that day? There's something to what Peter came to see. There's something to this. But you're wondering, could it be true? Might there be more? Might there be hope like this? If you're wondering like that, that's actually not a bad place to be. It's a great place to start. But it needs to be acted on. Please keep wondering. Don't just move on from this morning and go home and then forget about it. Back to business as usual. No. You've been presented with something like this. You want to find out more. Investigate. Actively wonder. There are some Gospels, copies of these biographies from the Bible in the foyer. If you don't have a Bible, you don't have one that's in a sort of easy to read translation, take one, read it, ask yourself, could Jesus be who he says he is? Because that's the question. Or just keep coming to church. Find out more. Or chat to me or chat to someone here. But please, don't just wonder now and then forget about it. Please investigate further. You might just find the wonder who fills your life with wonder because he is risen. For those of us who've been around this Christian thing a little bit longer, let me ask you, does Jesus being raised from the dead still make you wonder? What difference does it make in your life? Or is it sort of something, yeah, I believe that, tick. No, does it make you wonder? Because in reality, Jesus is raised from the dead and that changes everything. A world where Jesus is raised from the dead is very different to a world where he wasn't. So if you, like those women and like Peter, have realized that he's been raised, does it change the way you live? Does it change the way you look at other people? Does it change the way you think about your time and what to do with it? Does it change your diary? Does it change the way you think about what matters most in your life? Does it change the hopes you have for the world? If someone lived a week with you, following you around, would they find evidence that the resurrection of Jesus has changed you? Changed how you live? Changed how you see the world? If someone spent a week with you, would they see that? Because Jesus died a long time ago, but he didn't stay dead. And that changes everything. Let me lead us in prayer. Gracious God, we thank you that though Jesus did die a long time ago, he didn't stay dead. And we ask you in your kindness to help us to see that. It's not something we're used to. It's not something that's normal. If it is, Lord, then we've probably missed the significance of it. Please help us to see the wonder of it. And we do pray, for those of us for whom it's new, you'd help us to have the courage to keep looking into it. For those of us for whom we're familiar with it, we pray we'd continue to wonder at it. We pray it would change us. And above all, Lord, we thank you for the hope it brings. For he is risen. Amen.